There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right. Here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Thursday. I'm Sean, and I'll be checking in with my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap in just a second. Text line and the phone line, same digits, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you at the App Store for iOS users, Google Play for Android users, just look for FMTALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5, just 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. And one of the things you can do with it is leave us a talk back message, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back as well. And let me ask this. Like I always, poor Dale Leash, when he comes on with us, I'll be talking about something before we even get into his stories. I just saw this, though. Birthday today, you know, back when I did music radio, back in the early days, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, we'd always do the, I think we probably played the Beatles' birthday, something stupid like that. And here's the celebrity birthdays for today, plus, Miss Cherry over at the Five Points Mall. But we would do the birthdays. I saw this today. Dale Leash, Chubby Checker, has a birthday today, okay? Chubby Checker.
Okay.
Do the twist, right? How old do you think Chubby Checker is?
Oh, shoot. He's got to be 100.
Okay. I didn't think 100, but I thought later 90s. Maybe this is the fact that I'm now 52. Ages seem different. He's only 83. He must have been 12 years old when the twist came out or something like that. I mean, he must have been a teenager or something. Only 83.
Yeah, I definitely overestimated. I was trying to figure out when he was popular and, like, extrapolate out his current age.
Chubby Checker, 83. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac is 75. 75 for Lindsey Buckingham and Chubby Checker is just 8 years older. I was blown away.
Yeah, you're gonna tell me the Fats Domino is like 70 now, and I am absolutely flabbergasted.
Good, you had the same reaction I did.
I'm gonna have to go lay down. Yeah,
I saw that. I said, "You gotta be kidding." 83. So I, of course, did what I always do. First place I saw it, I don't believe it. I have to go get a couple other sources. So did that, and in fact, he is 83 years old. So, all right, you are not calling us from the world headquarters of Lanyap right now. You are in a parking lot somewhere in our fair city, right?
I'm getting my tires checked out before I go on a road trip, and so.
I thought you were somewhere buying toilet paper.
No, I'm not going to do that because the majority of our toilet paper is made here in the U.S. or in Canada, and I don't know if anybody's been to Canada lately, but you don't need a boat to get there.
You can go by boat, but yeah,
a lot of people are buying. You could. You go the long way and take a boat. Sure.
But this has been.
You could also just go up to Detroit and walk across a bridge.
You could do that too. But this is if they're doing, a sociology study of humans and panic. I mean, we're seeing it again here. That it just takes some people buying it because they didn't think through the logic you just rolled out, and then everybody else sees scarcity and they're. They look like the people in a Godzilla movie running, to get the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like Costco's completely, wiped out, almost wiped out of toilet paper. And, like, the things that you have to worry about with this longshoreman strike, things that will be hard to come by, are like chocolate and alcohol and then fruit, right? Like bananas and cherries specifically, which are things that are classically not great at buying in bulk.
Right.
Bad.
Yes.
So, you know, paper products should not be an issue. Who knows, right? Who knows? I'm not an expert in the economy, but I do know where Canada is, and so
that's quote of the year.
We're going
right
to be needing toilet paper. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, somebody has to stand up for hardworking Americans who have been misled by someone to think that they all need to buy toilet paper at the same time. Y'all can hold on to what you have now because it'll be fine.
Now
the other alternative is that they're all having gastrointestinal issues at the same time. we got to maybe factor that in. Everybody's really got to poop.
Thank you. This show is, completely off the rails today. It's been 2 hours of this, but so I should expect nothing less. Dale, this is, of course, stemming off this. I guess we're in day three of the ILA strike affecting our port as well as so many others out there. What are you hearing from a city level here? Commentary from the mayor?
The mayor did not comment. We reached out to the mayor's office for comment, I believe. And, we're told really there is no comment from the mayor on this. It doesn't really involve city government as of yet. And so there was no comment. I will say that this only affects East Coast ports and Gulf Coast ports. So you're thinking Baltimore, you're thinking Delaware, you're thinking Mobile, you're thinking New York.
Charleston, Savannah, you know, Port Canaveral, Tampa.
Yeah. All of that stuff. If you're getting stuff from like Long Beach, California, you'll be fine. So, the ILA, the East Coast ports, ILA workers at East Coast ports did go on strike. The big local connection to it here is that part of the reason they went on strike was an automated gate. At the port of Mobile.
Now, I was told. Did you see this? Because I was told that in combination of, you know, reading stories, talking to the people, that they're representing the different groups. And then I have this text line that we get hundreds and hundreds of texts a day. And I kind of try to, it doesn't mean all of them are accurate, but I've got my people, the people that are working in these things on both sides, give me information. Uh-huh. I've been told that automated gate thing was already. Is not something brand new, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, how things come up during like negotiations, and I think it's just sort of like, well, we're negotiating this contract now. Let's bring this up, even though it's not new. This you know brings up a concern. So I think it's just like a bargaining strategy. Like it already exists, but now we're going to complain about it because the contract is up, which is, I mean. In fairness, it's probably what we would all do. You know, if you're having an argument with your wife, or let's be honest, she's arguing with you and winning, she's going to bring up stuff you did months ago that you don't even remember, and you're like, oh, no. So, because she's smarter than you, right? So, like, that's what's going to happen. So, I think that's part of it. I'm not sure when the automated gate was put in. But I think I have heard the same thing you've heard.
So the end of this, that's the thing too. And I'm just guessing. I would like to hear from people at ILA. Are they at some level striking in solidarity with people that, you know, maybe the situation at a port on the East Coast or somewhere else on the Gulf Coast is not great. Theirs might be great or okay. Maybe not great, but okay. But because they call for the nationwide strike, you're in the union, you strike.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is solidarity. I am not sure about how, you know, local ILA members feel about the strike. I don't think we've Brady's, I think, reached out to a few, but I have not reached out to any. But I will say that, you know, Mobile is not the biggest port that we're talking about that where this strike is happening. So yeah, I would imagine it probably has more to do with conditions at bigger ports, Baltimore, like I said, Baltimore, New York, New Jersey, that sort of thing.
Okay. Let's go back to, I mentioned the mayor as well. You got a pretty fast sit down with Mayor Stimson about his, you know, turning it in here after, what, 13 months or whatever to go. Or, yeah, I guess less than that. 11 months to go. Yeah, so your takeaways here, I know because the next part of this is speculation of who's next, but I thought it was interesting. And I enjoyed in the story, too, you know, reading through it, but you pulling out different council people speaking to it. And what Joel Dave said is exactly what I've been talking about since this announcement was made. And you and I have talked about it as well, is the fiscal change in the city of Mobile, right? People are thinking about it, and you name all these things that people can see that the Stimson has been responsible for. But the thing that Dave's talked about is the thing that fired me up too, made me, you know, really believe in this mayor, is to turn things around. I mean, we were in a lot of trouble money-wise.
Yeah, and you've noticed now, I mean, we've gone through various economic downturns since he took office. And we've been able to weather the storms probably better than most because of that financial stewardship. And we, you know, we have a reserve now. You know, not only do we have what is legally required for a reserve, which I think, or not legally required, but like makes fiscal good sense to have 2 months of reserve in case, you know, there's a storm damage or something that you didn't foresee happening that's going to cause you to have to spend extra money. So you got that, plus you've got, you know, a ton extra that, I mean, now some of that went to the airport. Some of that went to the new civic center arena project, but by and large, he's been able to weather financial issues while also somehow building up a reserve when in, you know, before he took office, those things were kind of in the negative. So, you know, the bond rating has gone up, even though
which lowers the interest rate. Yeah, which lowers the interest rate that lets you pay off debt faster. I mean,
it'll put us in a better financial position when we do borrow money for the Civic Center, which we will have to do.
Okay. Now, there were things that, thinking about this, I know that Dana Dalton and Rob were talking about this morning, that there were projects that were ongoing that when Mayor Stimson, when he was elected, became his project, right? Now as the mayor, things at a time like Gulf Quest. Some of these will be handed to somebody else after August of 2025. So who's that going to be? Because y'all have, I mean, there's been a bunch of speculation. Y'all have actually put it into a running frequently asked questions list over at LandyatMobile.com. Will you run for mayor? What are you feeling here?
Well, I know who won't run. Joel Daves is not going to run.
Yeah.
he said in no uncertain terms, absolutely not, when I asked him. So he's not going to run. I mean, I think some of the newer members of council probably aren't interested. You know, you're going to see some interest from Connie Hudson, obviously. You're going to see some interest probably from Gina Gregory, maybe William Carroll. People that are already in government that just kind of be moving up or moving over, so to speak. I think Lawrence Batiste is a definite possibility. We've talked about him before.
Yeah, he said as much, right? You and I talked about that last week. He's kind of said as much already in the past that he would be interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul Prine seems interested. Again, last time I checked, he lives in Saraland, so he'd have to move. But anybody... If you only have to be in the city for 90 days either before the election or before qualification. And there's like a month difference there. So the election's in August, qualifications in June or July. So it doesn't really make that big of a difference, but I don't remember. But yeah, you know, you have to live in the city, so he'd have to move. I've heard Jerry Carl's name mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he'd have to move unless he would. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the lines were drawn after the last annexation, but I don't think he was in.
He's
the
not
city.
In. He lives by me. So. Yeah, he'd have to move. But he did, you know, he said on the show Monday, he didn't say no. I mean, he said they were praying about it, like so many people said, prayerful consideration. So it wasn't a no.
Right. I think it's fine to think about it. Like, God rarely tells these people no, in my experience. You know, they pray about it, and then they say God put it on their heart to run, and they do. I'm not trying to cheapen it. Like, it's very important. They should pray about it. They should ask their families. I'd like for somebody to say, like, yeah, I prayed about it, and God said, no, thank you.
I'm waiting for that. That is interesting. What about the dame here that has been part of the city council and county commission, Steve Nodine? What did he say?
I think he definitely wants to run for something. He had mentioned, I think, before the Stimson announcement, he had told Scott Johnson, our reporter, that he was interested in running for council at the time. He may have pivoted to wanting to run for mayor now that now that it's unopposed. We'll see. Either way, it's going to be real interesting to see who enters the race, and I think it'll be quite a few people. This is the first time since Sam Jones ran the first time that we haven't had an incumbent in office in the city of Mobile. It's the first time since I've been writing for Lanyon that haven't had an incumbent in office. I got there right after Sandy was elected. So there'll be a lot of people. It'll be a little bit of a circus, which is always good for us.
It is indeed. Tell folks if they want to catch y'all on the daily, because we talk about Lanyap and, you know, the issues out now. But I check in with y'all every day. How do they do that?
LanyapMobile.com is the website. Please follow the links and subscribe. You'll get all of our stories and photos and videos every single day. It's basically a daily newspaper, digital form. So check it out, LanyapMobile.com. Like you said, we come out every week in paper form. You can check that out too. Purple boxes and anywhere you see a newsstand.
All right, good stuff. And reminder, Chubby Checker, 83 years old.
Man, that is going to blow my mind the rest of the day. Thank you.
There you go. Talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, see ya.
There goes Von Bondale Leash, and we'll be right back. 83.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 126, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Check in up to the text line here. Let's see. Jerry sent me a link. He was talking about that Marine app. And I got to switch to the Marine app. I've got on my desktop, I have the one that shows freight in the river systems. But this one is showing offshore. Seven ships at anchor, one started inbound. So we'll be looking at eight at anchor out south of Farewell Buoy as the stoppage is going to lead to a parking lot out there. Now, of course, everybody who likes to fish ling just went, there's a silver lining to that. Hey, look, here's a text from Peacock, who I met yesterday. He was doing some work around the building here. Good to meet Peacock. I love meeting y'all in person. It means a lot to me. We stop and get to visit for a second. Peacock said, I go to several affected businesses by the strike. It's affecting more local places than people realize. And that's, you know, that's the ripple effect, right? So nothing against the TV news story. I would probably, if I'm a, you know, wet behind the ears TV reporter, I would go to the local lunch counter that's nearby that usually has people that work at the docks there and, you know, show that their seat's empty. I mean, that's an okay story to do. But then we got, you know, the intermodal truckers that seem to be getting some work now. But then beyond that, how many ripples does this, not just on people worried about supplies, it's people worried about work. And those businesses have a reason for them to come to work. This texture says, so we live in a right-to-work state. The dock needs to take full advantage of that. If the union doesn't want to work, so be it. Someone will be glad to take their place. Unnamed texture here, changing the subject. When do you think we'll have the first cool snap to bring the redfish into Dog River? You see what's important to me. Well, I don't think we, unnamed texture, need the cold snap. I think they're, I was saying 3 weeks ago, I was catching them. How am I going to wrap myself out? Well, heck with it. Within sight of the bridge, or maybe, you know, I could hear the music in the River Shack. Okay, there you go. And Dan and Daphne, do you have an app so we can listen on our phone? Well, yeah, we got it. It's the FM Talk 106.5 app. So, Dan, if you'll go to, you have, I don't know if you said you have an iPhone. Either way, if you have an iPhone, go to the App Store. If you have an Android phone, go to Google Play and just look for FM TALK 1065. See the app, download it. It's free. Does all kind of stuff. It's like a multi-tool for your phone, from streaming the station to the first place our podcast post to show schedules. You've got traffic information on there. You've got you can text from there. You can call from there. You can leave a talkback message. Our social media feeds with all the breaking news all in one place. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The FM Talk 106.5 app. Go get it today. Marty says William Shatner, Captain James T. Kirk, is 93 and Rob Lowe is 60. I'll have what they're having. Yeah, Shatner at 93. How about the fact that Shatner is like a decade older than Chubby Checker? The Chubby Checker thing left me a little bit slack-jawed. I would have thought he'd been up in his 90s. He must have been like 7 years old when he got everybody to do the twist. Stetcher says, I believe the union boss is purposely misleading the union workers with his astronomical agreement offer. A few years from now, they'll be cut out of a job because of smart machines and overreach in contract negotiations. The union boss will get a kickback from the companies and will be living a happy life.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Good time to think about this. What you gonna do for? I know it's like for me, it's kind of crazy to think about Christmas shopping here in October. But listen, I can see the changing of the seasons in Dollar General when I go in there, which I know for a lot of people would involve whether they have toilet paper or not. But for me, I can see the Halloween stuff already being moved out and the Christmas stuff coming in, which reminds me Christmas is going to be here before we know it. If you're going to do something really cool this year for Christmas, gift maybe for a special, you know, a spouse or a loved one or a child or maybe for both of y'all, what about an e-bike? So my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, who 2 years ago got me back into bicycling. I had rode bikes as a kid, big time. You know, that was my wheels. And then some in college. But afterwards, other than occasionally like hopping on somebody's bike and riding around the block or something like that, didn't do the bicycle thing. Then I got an e-bike, and it has become a big part of my life. And it's, like I've said before, you can completely just run it on electric. You don't even have to pedal it, which some people do. For me, what I love about it is I can get exercise. I put it in an assist mode. You can have it in just regular mode or assist mode or full. There's a throttle. You can add as much electric to it as you want. But it makes riding more fun. So I do ride. I pedal a lot, and I get out and do it. Instead of saying, you know, you buy a bicycle and say, yeah, man, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to do this bicycle thing. Then you ride it a couple times. You're like, this is hard, and you don't do it. Well, with the e-bike, you're going to want to do it. It's just fun to ride. And Clint has a huge selection since back when I bought mine. It's just grown and grown and grown. The number of makes and models he has, 75 in stock at any given time. And there's different e-bikes for different uses, right? And different people. You have off-road, on-road, hybrid. All those things exist in the e-bike world. And he's got a great selection for you to check out. I would suggest if you're going to get that perfect e-bike for Christmas, you go see him maybe here in the month of October. And reminder, too, they're a good old-fashioned bike shop, repairing bikes that you have. Or if you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycle, e-bike or non-e-bike, quarterly you can bring the bike in like I've done and have all the work done on it, have the bike turned around, fresh and ready to go. Check them out at the corner of Little Flower and Airport, or in Midtown, kind of catty cornered across from Ruth's Chris, or go see him online if you want to and look at the selection, adventure-earth.com. Everything inside to get you outside at Adventure Earth Bicycles. All right, let's go to the text line here, which, by the way, Chris, I wish I had a place. I guess we could do it through Facebook or whatever, but Chris shared a picture with me of a lamp he found on his route yesterday. It is I lack the right term. I'm going to call it a Tiffany lamp. It's not Tiffany, but it's like a bedside lamp that has the glass work, right? You know, over the top of the bulbs so it shines through. And you see them a lot like in green cut glass and whites and all this. This one right here, how the heck you found this is a, it just says BAMA across the front of it. That's fantastic, Chris. I need to share that out there. Some people reacting to the Chubby Checker news, although B-Dark is listening to Chuck Berry's 16 Greatest Hits on vinyl. That's cool. And then I was blown away that, so Shatner's 93 and Chubby Checker's 83. That's, Fish River Frank says Checker introduced the version of the twist at the age of 18 in July of 1960 in Wildwood, New Jersey at the Rainbow Club. The twist went on to be the Billboard Hot 100, not just once in 1960, but again in a separate chart run in late 1961. Says, I thought it was incorrectly a 50s song. I thought it was a 50s song too, right? Didn't that song, maybe it was recorded in 50 and barely, you're saying first time, it says it was released in 58, okay? But you're saying it hit the charts in 60. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I would have missed that question. And I do pretty good in the world of music. But if you'd have said, is Chubby Checker 83, I'd have missed that one. Let's see. Jason says, Sean, we're all encouraged to be free thinkers, and the union model only promotes groupthink. Not to mention it feels a lot like another government program that protects the lazy. No way I'd put myself in that situation. You know, so I could see, we've talked about this before, I see this maybe not so black and white. Are there a lot of unions and then unions for government employees that bother me? Absolutely. They do. Look back historically. Did we have a value to unions? Yes, we did. They were they did some great things in this country. And maybe at some level in some places, they're still doing great things. But there's a lot of places where it's absolutely abused, Jason. I agree. I wish I knew more detail in this ILA strike. You know, if you go to strike, you know, the wage thing, and you could see a variety of numbers coming into my text line of what the hourly rate is. But, you know, my point is, what will the market bear in the hourly rate? What are the working conditions like? I think those are things you discuss at a union. You know, what should we be getting paid? What can the company bear before they get rid of us? At the same time, you're talking about them getting rid of you. And that's one of the things, if you're striking because automation coming, AI or whatever automation coming. The trouble with that is, in striking because of that possibility of automation, aren't you kind of, and I know there's a couple of ILA people that are listening to the show, so let me know, don't you risk them saying, well, that's exactly why we're going to do it? If you're saying that, hey, we want the company maybe to say they're not going to, remember the thing in the Hollywood strike where they were going to use AI to, you know, use people's voices and actors and the writers and all this stuff, and use that to put into the AI machine to kick out movies or copy or whatever. You know, that was their issue. Maybe it's the same here on this. If you're telling the company that automation, y'all are going to do automation, so we're going to strike because of it. Do you think, and this is not a rhetorical question, I'd like to hear from people that are, you know, this affects you directly. Do you think you tempt that company, whatever it is, whether it be the ILA or some other, you know, some, whether it be on the docks or some other business, do you tempt them to go, okay, well, this is exactly why I'm going to use it? You know, I'm in a business, and we, like I said the other day, we're very different. And by the way, no, we are not part of some, you know, the story the other day, if you didn't hear, I was ripping about the Odyssey buyout, not just because of the Soros angle, but because of the fact that they got 80% of the debt washed from that company. Must be nice. But this business, because of consolidation in radio, automation, I think we weren't first or second generation. I think, you know, automotive and other production, automation hit pretty hard, but it hit very hard in the radio business. It was and like I said, we're a different station. We've got a lot of people here. We do it kind of the old-fashioned way. People think I'm crazy, which is probably arguable. I may be. But the automation took stations I worked in as a young pup there when I got into commercial radio. I was a student at the University of Alabama, worked at the college station, ended up getting picked up and going to a commercial station. And it was just a hive of activity. The number of people that were there in different positions, and it was noisy, not in the studio, but it was noisy walking through the halls. You know, there were three stations there. There's an AM and two FMs. And it was just lot going on and people. And it's, you go back to that same place now, and you could probably hear a pin drop. And that's because of automation. If we would have, we had no concept back then, but if we would have gone on some kind of strike there, which none of us were in a union, but if we'd gone on some kind of strike, I think it would have moves would end up happening through even faster. Now, maybe that's not the same as doing the job that, you know, the heavy duty job you're doing on the docks. I get it. But I do wonder that if this doesn't help them make their decision going forward. It's if it's wages, it's working conditions, I'm going to stand with people in a union. I mean, if you're getting, you know, nowhere near what you should be getting, or you have a dangerous place to work, that's one thing. But if you're saying, hey, y'all are going to use automation, well, they got to stay competitive. And if the other people are using automation, don't they have to use automation? Abby in Midtown on the text line here. Hi, Sean. Thanks for all you do. I was working in Covington yesterday. North Shore, baby. And went to Costco. Shelves were full, but people were buying TP and paper towels. Pretty sure those products are made here in the U.S. You're correct, Abby. However, the wood pulp they use to make it is apparently shipped in, which would be crazy. I think there's some additives shipped in. We still have, even though we don't have it right here like we used to, you know, growing up. Remember every time I grew up in the city of Mobile, every time the wind would blow east, you knew it when you walked out of the house, you go, oh, there's a paper mill. But there's plenty of mills still in Alabama. Not as much as used to be, but there are. Are we not making, and I know I've got people here that have connections or work with the paper companies around here, are we using the pulp from elsewhere? Because we got, if you haven't noticed, we do pretty good on that growing pine tree stuff around here. You know, the prices are down too, believe me, if you're trying to sell some. But it's a, we got plenty of them out there. All right. Joel in Somerdale says, I think it's a little extreme to have a $200,000 salary. There's no dock workers worth $200,000 a year. Is that the number? That's why I hope we can get all this stuff in one place. You know, like the facts here, because I have seen, and I've said that, I've seen everything since day one, somebody showing me something that said $17 an hour, to somebody else who showed me, a couple of y'all showed me it was $36 to $39 an hour. But just saying, hey, that salary is not, or that wage is not right. Well, you have to put that on the backdrop of the job, how many people want to take the job. So just saying that because you don't make $39 an hour, they shouldn't. I don't think that's fair either. B-Dark says, be thankful for what you got and don't be selfish. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
This might be a good time. Hey, Amtrak. I don't know. You're monitoring there, Amtrak. Maybe it's a good time for you to test riding people cars up and down the road or up and down the tracks. And see, I imagine the issue here on the containerized side is not only affecting the trucks, but the train traffic that they're loaded onto as well. You know, and CSX, who knows? We'll tell you what, we'll get my buddy John Sharp back on for more updates. But it's this slow-moving train to, you know, I think it's supposed to be this, like, by the Super Bowl or something this year, that Amtrak is going to be running out of here to New Orleans and, you know, the story. But, hey, if they want to do a little test shakedown runs, maybe, you know, traffic's not so bad on the train tracks right now. Have y'all noticed? I don't know if I've even noticed if you hear less train traffic or not. I mean, obviously, there's going to be open things like coal and stuff that'll be hauled, so that I don't think they'll be empty. But what about the? And is this a good time? Like I began the show, somehow I went into the rabbit hole. Lord knows, well, I probably was researching what's going on with the you know, the container with the strike over container shipping, and my phone decided to show me that you can make a swimming pool out of a container, and I spent, you know, good part of my evening looking at that. Maybe it's a good time to buy those container sales. Are they cheaper for us to get them to make, you know, swimming pools and storage buildings and cool stuff out of them? I don't know. We'll look at it. Just looking for an opportunity in the market. The text line here, let's get a few of these and then a couple more stories before we wrap up today. Texter says, Sean, I really enjoyed your show. Just for info, my granddaughter works at Chick-fil-A and makes $21 an hour. So anybody working at the port ought to make it at least that. I'm not a union guy. I'm actually anti-union, but it's that kind of pay they're making. People talking about $17 an hour, they need to raise, and the first 20 to 25% of the raise actually is going to pay for the Biden inflation. So I don't begrudge those guys getting a 50% pay increase at all. And I think the automation where they will not be required to hook up the containers physically anyway, wanted to let you know about that comparison. Last follow-up on those automatic machines and computers don't pay union dues. No, they do not. So I wonder if this part of this is if you're striking over the possibility of automation, if you're not making those companies go, I mean, there's a lot, you run a business and there's things you think, yeah, I ought to do, right? But you're busy doing the things you have to do to keep the business going until something, you know, until there's a pot boiling, right? Then you got to go boiling over. You got to stop it. And if that is it, that may move them to go to more automation than less. I don't know that that's what they're thinking. I'm just bouncing ideas off the wall here with y'all. This texture says OT crane operators can make $200,000 a year. Lift operators make $81,000 a year without overtime, but have great insurance and pensions. This texture says, how are the ILA members not able to make it on $75,000 a year in Mobile? Okay, this first, see, I appreciate it. Like, so many of y'all have some frontline information. This texture says, the wage depends on the type of ship they're working. Could be a 17 or a 36 or a 39. Is that for their hourly rate? So, is a smaller ship, you make 17 an hour, 36 for medium and 39 for bigger. Help me understand it. Bama here texts and says, if you look at your toilet paper packing, most is made by Kimberly-Clark Global. It says on the packing, made in the USA from domestic and imported materials, end quote. I think the core of the toilet paper rolls are imported. We had a place in Mobile called Mobile Paperboard that made cores for KC, Kimberly-Clark, along with other products. They've been closed down for years. Nothing but a driveway and a slab where the plant was. I don't think we have anything to worry about, but not all the toilet paper rolls are made in the USA. Okay, so there you go. This is the cardboard in the middle of it. And this from the mailman. So, John, I don't think it's about them getting raises, but more about the percentage of the raise they're trying to get. Reasonable request will be 10 to 20% raises, but they're trying to get 50% or higher of a raise. I'm not a businessman, but that's ridiculous and unreasonable and unrealistic and could cost them their jobs in the end if the business goes under trying to meet their demands. Right, and wouldn't that possibly push them, mailman, to they realize that that's what they're going to face In another strike, doesn't that edge them towards, not that they're going to automate the whole thing, but anything that they can automate, wouldn't they do that? Pat says, Facebook just told me Amazon is going on strike now. Anyone have context? I don't. If Facebook can tell you, it may be right, it may not be right. I don't know. So we'll see. Will there be solidarity strikes with other people that are vertically integrated with the ILA? Maybe. I haven't heard that, but maybe that happens. Adam says, Sean, on Fox this morning, a reporter was at a restaurant talking to patrons about the elections. He interviewed a lady who was a Harris supporter and asked her why she was voting for her. Her response was that she wants to be able to vote every 4 years because if Trump wins, might not get that opportunity again. It's very concerning that so many people are just dumb and ignorant. True. Now, both parties will tell you this is the most significant election, whatever it is, in the history. I would just look at some tells here. There's fundraising going on from Democrats for the presidential cycle in 4 years. If they believed this was the end of it, they probably wouldn't be fundraising on it. So, am I bothered by the thought of Vice President Harris as President Harris for 4 years? Yes, I am. Do I think it's the end of our republic? No. Do I think it's bad for our republic? Yes, I do. Bill says they can't get tired, so the costs get pushed on to the consumer. Any truth to the 1,000 Haitians being bused to Fairhope? Now, we talked about that, I guess, last week when Sheriff Lowry from Baldwin County was in. He doesn't know. There's a bigger story that maybe it's happening for Mobile County and Baldwin County together. The thing, if you'll go back and listen to the podcast with Sheriff Lowry, I asked him several different ways, and he's like, there's no one to call. That's the thing that got me going crazy, is that there's no phone number that somebody like a sheriff of a county could call to get the answer to that question. Unbelievable. We'll keep working on it. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow for the Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Y'all have a pretty good afternoon.